Paul was, St. Paul was sort of a traveling missionary, and as he was traveling through Turkey, he went to a place called Ephesus, and he met some Christians there, and something seemed a bit odd about these Christians. He probably couldn't work out what it was. So he finally said to them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized?" And there's this kind of awkward silence. And then they go like, "What Holy Spirit? We never heard of a Holy Spirit." So he says, "Well, whose baptism did you receive?" And they go, "Well, we received John's baptism." Is it enough? No. John's baptism didn't offer the things that the sacrament of baptism. You know, when we say a sacrament, it means something that God is doing, not something I'm doing. So when I have confirmation, I give my little confirmation talk. That's me. But in baptism, you didn't do anything. Your parents were just hoping he doesn't scream, that's all. Bare minimum, right? Don't scream. So John's baptism wasn't enough. So he had to baptize them with the real baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So baptism changed when Jesus went into the water. When he went into baptism, it became what we call the sacrament of baptism, the God-powerful action of baptism. Is that me cracking? Okay. So what was Jesus doing in that water? Did he really need to be? He didn't have any sins to confess, did he? There's a legend that there was that King Christopher, the King Christian X of Denmark, when the Nazis came and said that Jewish people had to wear a star, he put a gold star on. That's actually a legend. He didn't. But Jesus did. So in the same way that if he had worn that star, he would have been identifying himself with his people, and everybody who would have worn a star, it would have been really powerful. Didn't happen. But Jesus came into our baptism because he wanted to identify with us. And he's kind of like a sponge, and he sucked up all the sin that's in baptism. So Jesus stands with us. He joins you in your baptism. Jesus takes on our sin. So, and he gives us five gifts in baptism, so we'll talk about the five gifts. The first one is he washes us, not dirt from the garden, but he is kind of the strongest stain remover. So that includes your stuff-ups, your gossip, your greed, your envy, your looking at porn, your temper, trouble forgiving other people, failure as a parent. Oh, my goodness, did we fail? Children's failure as children, failures in marriage, cowardice in sharing our faith, lack of trust in God, failure to worship, and et cetera. That's not even all of them. And John has a vision, the guy who wrote the Gospel of John. He sees heaven, and he says, "I saw this great crowd from every nation, tribe, people, and language." He turns to the angel and says, "Who are these people dressed in white?" And the angel says, "They have washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb, and he made them white." So Jesus is the strongest, Jesus' blood is the strongest cleansing agent there ever was. So Jesus was baptized in order to take your sin away. The strongest sin removed, the strongest cleaning agent. But wait, there's more. He also gives us the Holy Spirit. So growing up, we had one of those dome glass clocks, you know, the kind, and you can see the pendulum going like this, and you can see the cogs moving. I used to think it was just so cool. Well, Jesus' baptism is like, God sort of showed me one time, Jesus' baptism is like the glass clock. We can see what happens inside of baptism that you normally can't see. And so when Jesus was baptized, the Holy Spirit came down and came inside him like a dove. This is the same Spirit that was there at the creation of the world. It's the same Spirit that operated through the prophets, whether it was the prophet Isaiah or the prophet Elizabeth. You have that same Spirit in you in your baptism. The Holy Spirit gives us faith. It's jolly hard to believe. It is. There's a lot of pressure against faith. And so in confirmation, we said, "I believe that I cannot, by my own understanding or effort, believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me through the gospel and kept me in the true faith." Or again, Paul says, "The Spirit that you received in your baptism does not make you slaves so that you live in fear of your Father, of God. Rather, the Spirit you receive brought about your adoption to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. We're in the family. We get to call God Father. This is amazing that we get to call God Father. But we're in the family. We've been adopted. So our first gift is that forgiveness, the cleanser. The second gift is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and that we can call him Father. The third gift, there's more, you're adopted. And so in Jesus' baptism, the voice from heaven says, this is my beloved son, or in your baptism it said, this is my beloved son, or this is my beloved daughter. You are a dearly loved. Jesus is God's natural son, but we are adopted. And adopted and natural count the same in the family. And so Paul tells us, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. I didn't try this illustration at the first service, but I'll try it with you guys. We'll see if you can get it. C.S. Lewis, probably the most famous English-speaking Christian theologian in the last 100 years, talked about, in baptism, we join the dance. When I first read this, I went, and then, of course, I had a dream. While I was sleeping, it went poof. And I remembered going to my best friend's bar mitzvah. This is the Jewish confirmation. And at the end of the service, we went into the hall, we ate, and we danced. But it wasn't the kind of dance I was used to. Instead, we all held hands. No one was in the center. We're all holding hands, and we're doing the horror, you know. And he's saying, this is like that. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, it's not like one's in the center and the show off. It's like, no, we're all doing this together. We're in this together. No one is more than the other. Each is loving each other, supporting each other, giving to each other. And we get, come into my dance. Come into my dance. We're invited in, equal with them. Come in, join the dance. And as we were dancing, different people would come in the center and do something like one of those Russian dances, you know, or handstand or something. But it was for all of us. It was all of our dance. And the more people that did, the more wonderful our dance was. And that's us as Christians, isn't it? We're invited into the dance. And we all do our bits. So the singers today did their bit for us. And the technies did their bit for us. And the PowerPoint person did their bit for us, right? So we're invited into the dance. So. Yeah, hopefully that worked for you. So Paul says, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to the son, to sonship, and by him we cry, Abba, Father. So we are part of the family. Sometimes we wander away from our baptism. It happens. My son has wandered away from me, right? We've talked about this before. And yet, you know, Jesus tells these stories about the prodigal son, where the father is trying to reach out to his son, or the lost sheep, where the shepherd is looking for them, and we'll talk more about that. Okay. So in baptism, we get forgiveness. The blood of Jesus is the strongest cleanser. We get the Holy Spirit, who gives us faith and makes us part of the family, part of the dance, so we can call him our Father. And you are adopted. You are mine. You belong in the family. But wait, there's more. You're branded, right? Branded in baptism. It's not that when we go, you know, I mark you with the sign of the cross both upon the forehead and upon the chest. That's not the real brand. The real brand is something I can't see, but God can see. You are marked for all eternity that you belong to him. And in the same way that we mark the sheep because we want them back, or we chip the dogs because we want them back, so Jesus brands you in baptism because he wants you back. So we receive forgiveness. The blood cleanses us. We receive the Spirit to give us faith so we can say, our Father, we are adopted. You are mine. We belong in the family, and you are branded. But wait, there's more. We receive the gift of life forever. A funeral, oddly, starts here. First thing we do at a funeral is we say when the person was baptized. We usually say where, by who, and when. Because that is what promises them life forever. So we nail that down first. They were baptized. They were promised life. And now we continue with the funeral because this person, we know where they're going. So we were baptized into Christ's death, and we will certainly also be united with him in his resurrection. So we've been promised life forever. So we receive forgiveness. The blood of Jesus cleanses us. We receive the Holy Spirit. We get to say, Our Father, we're adopted. You are mine. We belong in the family and the dance. You're branded. You are mine. We have eternal life. But do we want those gifts? My son James, as I've said before, didn't talk to me for... Not that he was angry at me, but he just didn't talk to me for 16 years. And around Christmas time, he had been living in Bomber. He has some mental health issues, and the government was moving him from there to Morganvale so he'd be closer to the hospitals. And in moving, he lost his key to the house that he had. He lost his phone. He lost his wallet. He lost everything. And he reached out to me. Not surprising, right? And I got to, the rescuing father. So I bought him a phone. I'm in this world and he's in that. I'm in the first world, he's in third world, right? So you need a phone. I bought him a phone. I bought him a wallet, put some money in the wallet. And Christmas Eve, I paid to have a locksmith come to change the locks in his house and to make a key for his house. Did he open the phone? No. Why would he need a phone if there's a payphone nearby? We're not in the same world. He probably didn't use a wallet either. We can reject God's gifts. We can. I can't force him to accept things, and I don't want to. God the Father can't force us, and he doesn't want to. He wants us in love. But we do still chase after them. God has branded you. You are mine. Jesus put the power in baptism, the gifts of forgiveness, the Holy Spirit, the gift of faith, that you're adopted, that you're branded, and that you have eternal life. What's your response? What does God do when people break their baptismal vow and want to go away from him? Does he go, well, no, he doesn't. That's why Jesus tells the story of the prodigal son and the father who gives him the credit card. That's what it means when he gives him the ring. It's the credit card. Why would you give that guy a credit card? Because he's a loving father, that's why. We talked about the 99 sheep leaves those to find the lost sheep. It's turned off again. What does God promise? Forgiveness, the gift of faith, that you're adopted, branded, that you have the promise of eternal life. He calls you to live in the gift of your baptism, the gifts that he's given you. And so we pray that you will live and the gift of that baptism that God gave you for all time, that you belong to him. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.